We hope if you're here tonight and not a Christian, not a child of God, but that invitation is given, that you'll respond by taking a seat over here on the front. Be your way of letting us know that you want to obey the gospel and the edict of the church you can read about in the Bible. If you're already a member of that church, that's wonderful, marvelous, fantastic, amazing, and need to come back and recommit and rededicate your life, then just take a seat there as well, and we'll deal with that when the time close of the service, and we'll help you in every way that we have the needs and meet our responsibilities and press on toward the mark of the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's always a happy time when you see people respond to the glorious invitation of the Lord. And the Lord is pleased when people respond to his truth. And the Bible says, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then truly my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth will stand when the world is on fire. The truth will stand when everything else is going to fall. And so we recognize then that the truth is so important and so obvious to each and every one of us that we need to yield our will to God Almighty's will. Well, somebody says, Brother MacDonald, what is the truth? How can I know what the truth is? Well, let Jesus answer that question. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify means to set apart, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, to begin service in glorification, magnification unto him and to God Almighty, and that we might impress upon the minds of other people when we yield our will to God's will to show them the way they need to come to Christ while they have the time and while they have opportunity, and both time and opportunities are swiftly passing from me and from you, and one day opportunities are going to cease, and so we need take advantage of it while we can before time runs out. Get ready in the here and now so we'll be ready for the there and then. We have outlined on the board here our lesson for tonight, trust and obey. And I believe that's the song number that you collected a few moments ago, 644. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, if only we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So that song tells us what the Bible says. There's no other way but the Bible. Trust and obey God and his word, and you can't go wrong. Fail to trust and obey, and you can't go right. And so we need to be trusting and obeying what the Bible says to do. On every single Bible topic we preach on, we must trust and obey what the Bible teaches and the Bible says, because one day we're going to be judged by what's in the Bible, not by what people think about what's in the Bible, but the Bible itself. That's why we're told to study the Bible and to learn what we need to be doing to please God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is a direct command of God. It's not optional like white wall tires on a new automobile, is it? It's a commandment of God. If we don't study, we disobey the word of God. And the Bible tells us that God's word is powerful and wonderful and marvelous and amazing, and we need to yield to that and follow its instructions and standard. As a basis for our study too, we're going to read the second Peter, the third entire chapter, because it awakens our mind to the fact that time is running out and that one day this whole earth is going to go up in flames, going to pass away the great noise. 2 Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. They have pure mind because they've obeyed the gospel, you see. 1 Peter 1:22-23, seeing that you have purified your souls, so obey the truth, whose spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren. Did you love one of the pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So he's talking to here, Christians, members of the body of Christ. He says, you may be mindful of the word which was spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For by the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, talking about the Noah flood in the ark. But the heavens and the earth, which are now present tense, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In Noah's day, it was with water. It's going to be by fire the second time. But beloved, be not ignorant of the words, be knowledgeable of this one thing. Be informed, be warned. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What does he mean by that? He simply means time is no element with God. He's in the bounds of eternity. He inhabits eternity. Time does mean something with you and I, because ours is running out, but his never runs out, because he is eternal. And so he's showing the importance that the time is going to run out. We're going to run out of time, and we need to be busy yielding our will to God's will. So that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years. Whether he comes today, tomorrow, or the next day, or 1,000 years from now, it makes no difference, because time is no element with God. That's what he's got under consideration in this text. And so we need to apply and realize that we're in a boundary of time, and God is in a boundary of eternity and eternal things. And that's what we want to impress upon our minds, so that we will not forget these things. And then he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's going to do just what he said. As some men count slackness, they count a lot of slackness. But his long suffering, God just keeps waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And we wonder why he waits so long. Remember a song years ago was, wait a little longer, please Jesus. There's so many still wondering out in sin. Just a little longer, please Jesus. A few more days to get our loved ones in. Well, I remember I heard that when I was a boy, and it made an impression upon my mind. So we're thankful that God is long-suffering to usward, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think about a being, God Almighty, that loved us so much he didn't want to lose a single one. He's made ample provision for the whole world to come to him, to yield to him and follow him and obey him and go home to glory to be with him forever and ever and ever. But the day of the Lord will come. It will come now. You can depend on it. Mark it down. As a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything over your head and under your feet is going to disintegrate, burn up, and be gone. Disappear. Not just toasted a little around the edges. It's going to burn up. That's what it says. He says what he means, and he means what it says. Well, let's just continue reading what the Bible says. And seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What does the word dissolve mean? Now, if you get up in the middle of the night, you want to dissolve an aspirin, you see. Put it in a glass of water, you dissolve it. What do you do? It just disappears. It's a solid, then it becomes a liquid. All of a sudden, it's going to be dissolved. It's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. He said, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the work therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Knowing that and understanding that, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That means manner of life and godliness. Knowing all this is going to happen, how should we be living our lives right now, this moment, every moment from now on? How should we be living? How should we be talking? How should we be walking? I submit to you, we better be trusting and obeying all the time before this happens. Because when this happens, it'll be too late. The gate will be closed. Everything will be sewn up, you see. It'll be finished. He says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, he didn't say just conversation, did he? He said holy conversation. Big difference. And godliness. Looking for, that is anticipating, and hasting on the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. That's twice that word mentioned. Dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Fervent heat. Fervent means intensified to the greatest degree we could comprehend, or beyond what we could comprehend. So the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Everything here is made of some kind of elements. Think about solid rock just melting, like dissolving an aspirin in a glass of water, or an Alka-Seltzer. Just think of that. Just think about dropping an Alka-Seltzer in a glass of water, and it just spins it and it's gone. That's it, you see. It's going to pass away. It's going to burn up. It's going to disintegrate. It's going to be gone. That's what he's saying to us. He says, look, Mary, haste to come the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, see that you look for such things, be diligent, serious, devoted, dedicated, consecrated, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, that's saying a lot. To live a life without spot and blameless? Wow, think of that. But it's possible to obey the gospel, living a faithful Christian life, trusting and obeying. And God will take care of it. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, that is, made they're unskilled, they don't study, they don't prepare, they don't know, they don't comprehend, they're unlearned and unstable. They rest, that means twist, they pervert, they take out of context, original intensified meaning, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own what? Destruction. That's why you better not tamper the Bible. You better preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The time has come that not a near sound doctrine, they'll heap themselves teachers and have been itching ear, be turned away from the truth, and be turned to fables. He warns about that. And let's think about that. Beware, he says. Watch out. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, that's Christian people, seeing ye know these things before advance warning. Can you say, I didn't know? I didn't understand? I didn't realize? No, we can't do that. Be honest about it, because we do know. We can know if we read and study the Bible. He says, beware. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware. What does that mean? You see a sign out in the road as you walk, take your morning walk, the morning says, beware of the dog. Do you just go up on the porch and right through the gate? Or you wait until the masters come out and talk to somebody? Now, you know what you do. Beware, look out, there's danger. And in this case, beware. Your soul is at stake. Beware. Look out. Be careful. Be cautious. Beware. Why? Why? Why beware? Well, there's really nothing to fear, are they? Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You mean you can fall from your own steadfastness? What did I just say with the Bible? That's evident. Yes, it can be done. If our attitude and actions does not comply with the Bible, if we don't trust and obey. But he says, here's the thing to do. Grow in grace. Grow, mature, develop. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So that gives us a warning to trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus But to what? But to trust and obey. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What about that? Impressive from the Bible, isn't it? Very plain, very simple, very direct, and very applicable to every single one of us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is our attitude toward the Bible, or should be. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, that's not your blood pump. That's what you think with right here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, your own IQ, because it'll get you in trouble. Because it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's why. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, not some of your ways or part of your ways or a few of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge, recognize him in the truth. Don't ever step away from that. Stand on the Bible. Regardless of what men may teach or say, stick to the Bible. Give your proof. Give biblical proof for everything we say and do in religion. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. A few things, some things, no. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. We try to please God without proof of what we do in practice, we're going to be in big trouble in the judgment, aren't we? Because Jesus is going to be the judge of all the earth. The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment to his Son. You see, Jesus will be the judge. Because God has placed him in that position of authority. The Bible says all power has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28 and verse 18. All power has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. And with all that power in heaven and on earth, go, teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whichever commanded you. Lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. If they don't do that, he won't be with them, period, with you. They're alone in the world. He says, you can do what I take you to do. I'm telling you to go do this. Now go do it, and I'll be with you till the end of the world. I'll hang up with you. I'll be right behind you, and I'll stabilize you, and I'll strengthen you, and I'll give you the strength to do whatever that I tell you to do. Psalm 119, verses 104, 105, through thy precepts, that's God's word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We don't hate people going a false way. We hate the false way that people are following. You see? And that's the attitude and frame of mind we all have. And as I often say, and I'll say it again because I think it's right, it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that determines your altitude. If you want to soar like an eagle, have a good attitude and use all of your aptitude to follow only the Bible. And there's no telling what altitudes you can reach. The sky's the limit, isn't it? Yes. And a bad attitude toward anybody or the truth is like a flat tire. You're not going anywhere till you what? Change it. Attitude and the flat tire, right? Not going anywhere. Even be right in what you're saying with bad attitude, you're still wrong. Treat people with a good attitude. Use your aptitude in a way that you can reach that highest altitude. You soar like an eagle. The sky's the limit if we do what God requires of us to do. That is so important. In our lives, every day, obey God. Jeremiah 10:26, not a man that walketh to direct his steps. In 1 Peter 4:17-18, let's know what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4:17-18. I know we've all read these passages over and over and over again, but let's turn and read and meditate and ponder on what the Bible actually says, and then we'll know what we need to be doing. 1 Peter 4:17, beginning and reading verse 18. And 17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's the church. And if it first began at us, that's the church, remember the church, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That people ask you all the time, why are you always saying obey the gospel? Well, I just showed you right there, obeying the gospel. When you become a Christian, you obey the gospel. You become a child of God. And if you don't obey the gospel, you see right here what's going to happen to us. We obey the gospel. That's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what constitutes the gospel. Christ died, he was buried, and he arose. And when we obey the gospel, we die to love and practice of sin. That's repentance. And we make that sweet confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're buried with our Lord in baptism, and we raise to walk in newness of life, and we go on our way rejoicing. Galatians 3:26-27, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, and so baptism is the final act that puts us into Christ. Baptized into Christ, we put him on, you see. We're in Christ. He's in us. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I just, old things have passed away, and I just showed you how you get into Christ. By hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's how you get into Christ. You contact the blood. He shed his blood in his death. And when we obey the gospel, and we die the love and practice of sin, we come forth in the water grave of baptism, and we go on our way rejoicing just like the eunuch did in Acts 8:35-40, and we're a member of the Lord's church, we're a citizen of the kingdom, and we're headed for onward and forward and upward to do greater things than we've ever done before. We've been forgiven of all of our past sins, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we're pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We're looking for greater and greater things and higher things and better things and wonderful things and marvelous things. And that's what we're looking for. That's what is so very important. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, again, it impresses on the mind to obey God. We obey God to become a Christian, and then we continue to obey God because we are Christians. We show our appreciation, our admiration for all he's done for us. We want to do all we can on his behalf. We know that we have our love, God's love, mercy, and grace behind us when we do that, because when we do what God says to do, that is his love, mercy, and grace at work in our lives every day. And we just keep on keeping on serving God. That's what 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes in Christ, that's a new Christian. Ye desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You see, you start out on the word like the little baby. It starts on the physical word, the physical milk. And we start out on the spiritual word of God. You see, if you're born babes in Christ, but you Christian, we desire the sincere milk of the word. And so we can develop and grow and mature to receive strong, digest strong meat. Because milk belongs to those that are not strong, you see. If they're like a baby, it starts eating solid food later, but it's got to have that milk temporarily to sustain it until it develops to the point it can go forward and onward up. That's the way we are spiritually, you see, and the Lord makes that comparison in his word. So it's so important to do that. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, your trouble rests with us. The Lord Jesus shall reveal from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, now watch it, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the bread of the Lord and the glory of his power. So he says, obey the gospel. That's where I get it at, you see. That's where I find that at. That's what the Bible says. And we got to do that if we please God. Hebrews 10:31 is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That's why we trust and obey. We got confidence and assurance and hope. Anticipation when we do what God said, but without that we don't have it. In Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. That's another thing to think about. Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, that's Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now you notice this, unto all them that what? Obey him. Christ is the author of eternal salvation, who just as many as obey him, and he'll be the author of damnation to those just as many that don't obey him. You got to obey the truth. Trust and obey. It's taught from A to Z through the Bible. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's taught in the New Testament. Serving God because we love him, not because we have to. Because we want to. You see, we do it because we want to. We're thankful for his love, his mercy, and grace. We become a Christian as a result of it. And then begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of truth and move forward and reach out to touch everyone we can while we can, because the time's coming we no longer can. And Christ is in us the hope of glory, and we show that by our activities and actions every day in serving God. See, that's so important every day, every day. And we know where the source comes from. And in 1 Peter 3:8-18 is our next point. 1 Peter 3:8-18. And the Bible has this to say. 1 Peter 3:8-18. Okay. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. As brethren now. We're all brethren now, brothers and sisters. As brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Are we required to do that? Well, of course we are. not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto due call, that you should inherit a blessing. Now get verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. And you see, and since you're in Christ, you're wanting to do the right thing. And he said, let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue, that's the same word, pursue, ensue or pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over who? The righteous. And his eyes are over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, those who don't trust in nobody. Right? Right? It's so simple. Eyes of the Lord over the righteous. He loves what we're doing. Righteousness. He's given us righteousness through his death, burial, and resurrection, and our obedience to the gospel. And his eyes are over us, and his ears are open unto our prayer. He hears us as his children. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followed to that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify, that means set apart, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of a hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear. That meekness and fear means reverential godliness. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's the old duty of man. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. So that's so very important that we yield our will. And who's going to harm us if we do that which we are doing that's pleasing in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, and we do God's will, follow His will, trust and obey, we can have a good conscience. We can fill our head with a good conscience, and we can sleep like a baby again, because we know that God is with us, and God's for us, and God's helping us, and God's strengthening us every single day. So it's having good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evil doers, they may be ashamed that they falsely accuse your good conversation, that is manner of life, or conversation with manner of life in Christ. That is, you can live such a godly, holy life, Brother Abercrombie, that they may be ashamed they said their evil things towards you and about you. Yeah. That's right. You just do a good thing. Good job. Or Soda Factory delivered you for several years, along with other places. And you know, a lot of times you preach, you have to have two or three other jobs, or make a living. Absolutely, you have to do what you have to do. And so, when you do things like that, you have to just do what's right, and don't get caught up in so many other things out of the way. And so, recognize then that things can be better and be good if we do that which we. That is pleasing in the sight of God Almighty. And as I was a bundle boy there at the sewing factory, and you know, when they'd run out of the kind of thread they needed, the color they needed, they'd substitute something else until they got it in for the warehouse, and sometimes they wouldn't get it in. They just have to use what you had, spools that were partially already used, and they'd start cursing and saying filthy words and so forth. After a while, why? Do my job best I could. After a while, they start saying, "Now, Mr. McDonald, we're sorry. We said what we said. We shouldn't have been talking like that." I said, "I thought that all along, but I just let you find out what you said. So find out what you said." And they respected me. They knew I was a gospel preacher, a Christian, and I appreciate that. But you know, people just get mad because they don't get their way, and because people just don't have the right attitude. But you know, you just got to go on and do what's right and take whatever comes, because they persecuted the Lord, they persecuted the apostles, and they would have persecuted us. So he says now, if they be ashamed when they falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, which means made alive, by the Spirit. Quickened by the Spirit. And in the beginning of time, Adam and Eve had the opportunity to obey or disobey God. They could trust and obey, or they could distrust and disobey. Which one did they choose? The wrong one, didn't they? That's what most people choose today, too. They had the opportunity to obey God and please God. They had all those trees in the garden that they could freely eat of. But there was one tree that was off base. You cannot eat or touch it unless you die. But that's the very tree they wanted, rather than ones that God prepared for them. Why is it that man is not satisfied with what God gives you? Why can't man just learn to trust and obey? Just think, if it had been different and they'd eaten of all those trees and not touched that tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, no death would ever took place with them. Been no death, no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no anguish, no pain. You see what? One time disobeying God got the whole human race involved in us. See? Trust and obey. Well, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's the wonderful thing about God, His love, His mercy, and grace. He gives us the power of choice to choose our own destiny. You and I choose and make decisions that affect where we go forever, you see. We do. We can trust and obey and look forward to heaven. We can distrust and disobey and we won't look forward to hell, but that's where we're going to be anyway, whether we look forward to it or not. That's where it's our right destination will be. It all hinges on trusting and obeying God. His word, the power is in the gospel. We've got to yield the gospel. We've got to obey the gospel. And we've got to continue to live by the gospel. Because we're to grow in grace. We're to mature and develop more and more all the time in service to God Almighty. They disobeyed. They had the freedom of choice, but they disobeyed. In Joshua 24, 13 through 15. Let's notice what the Bible says. This is Joshua speaking here, and he says, "And I have given to you a land for which ye did not labor, and in cities which ye did not build not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olives which ye planted, and that ye do ye. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." In effect, trust and obey. Just do what it takes. Just listen to the Lord. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," now make up your mind. You got a choice. And the next word proves you do. The word choose. "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." But Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Glory, hallelujah. We'll trust and obey, Lord. Because there ain't no other way. Verse 16, "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other God. For the Lord our God it is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of the bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us." Preserved, now notice why, because they obeyed. "And all the way wherein we went and among all people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites that dwelt in the land. Therefore and will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you to the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." So we said, "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange God which they are among you, and incline your ear to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we what? Obey." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All through the Bible. Old Testament. Genesis. To Revelation in the New Testament. Trust and obey is taught. There's no end to what I can present here tonight. I'm just touching the hem of the garment. Again, there is a Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 9, 23 and 24. And I think we'll need to think about this when we hear it more. Just a moment. I'll get my mind on here. So, Leviticus 9, 23 and 24. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which then all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And then in the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, the high priest and the brother of Moses, of course, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Uh-oh. You mean because they were the priest's children, they didn't get back, and didn't get to cover that up? Uh-uh. No. Well, somebody said, Brother MacDonald, fire is fire. What makes the difference? It makes all the difference because God didn't command it. That's the difference. What God said makes the difference always. They offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now you see, he devoured them, he burned them up, destroyed them, because they disobeyed his word. Didn't matter who they was. People, because how much money you got, your last name, the connections you got financially, don't change God's word in the judgment. It's trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Luke 17, 32 and 33 talks about, verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Well, why does the New Testament mention Lot's wife? That's an Old Testament thing. Well, God told them to get out of that city as quick as possible because of ungodliness going on, homosexuality and all that stuff, sodomy. And they had an angelic escort out of that place. And they told him, he said, don't look back. Get out of here, as if to say the quickest way may be too slow to get out of here. Get out of here. Angelic escort. But whatever you do, don't look back. Don't look back. Now, they lived there for a while, you know, Abraham and Lot, his nephew. Abraham told Lot, he said, now you take this beautiful water-fed, beautiful land escape over here and head that way if you want to, and I'll take the mountains or vice versa, because let there be no strife between me and thee. And Abraham was, of course, his uncle. And so he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And it was great real estate, good for the cattle and good for the, whatever stock they was raising. But as he pitched his tent towards Sodom, he didn't realize what was looming in the distance over there. We like taking your kids and moving to California, making high, big-time wages. But you better stop and think about what you're taking your family into a cruise of sin. Think of it. And he got over there, and you know the rest of the story, and when he came, they came knocking on the doors, you know, and said, let these angels come out. They're camping in the street. Lot said, come into my house. I'm responsible for you. They came banging on the doors. We want them, bring them out that we may know them. They didn't mean just give them an introduction either, did they? No. Know them. That is in the wrong way, an ungodly way. Lot had two daughters, even offered them. They weren't interested. I want you to think on this for a minute. Just think about this. Lot must have thought it would be a lot worse for me to turn those angels loose in their presence to let them do what they're intending to do than it would be for me to give my two daughters to them. Think of that. What was going on in his mind there? Just ponder that now. Doesn't say exactly what. You know, that'd be an awful thing, didn't you? To turn them people out there, right? Angels right out there to those ungodly people. So he didn't do it. And they just kept beating on the door trying to get in, you see. Just kept on. They wouldn't give up, just like they won't give up today. They keep banging on the doors. They keep trying to wade yourselves in to get more power. Sad. But anyway, don't look back. You know, if you've been living in a town for a long time, it'd be hard to keep looking back and say goodbye. I'm going to miss you. I love all of you. Friends. God said, don't look back. Trust nobody. Trust me. I'm in charge. She looked back, and she was changed to a pillar of salt. And the rest of the story, and the close of the story, is that God burned that place up, a holocaust, a great furnace of fire, wiped them off the face of the earth. And if God did that then, what do you think God's going to do when he decides to do about all of that stuff going on right now? And just think about the millions on top of millions of babies that are aborted every single day. Every 10 seconds, I've got the stats on it, a baby is aborted. Every 10 seconds, can you believe that? It makes you want to vomit, doesn't it? It makes you so sad to think about it. So I think we've made it pretty clear what it means to trust and obey. I apologize for the delay there for a few moments, but still we got it together. Since I've had the pandemic, I lose my memory sometimes that fast, but I get it back to you. But I'm improving, but just bear with me and help me and pray for me. That's what I need you to do. But if you're not a Christian, I made it clear in the beginning. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I'll make it clear again so you know. And if you're a Christian and you straight away, come back and recommit and rededicate your life. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one another that you may be healed. The effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man about as much. If you're subject in any way, come. Always stand.